Brother Live. Koga Brother Live, what you think about the record?
I give it 100+.
It's Koga Brother Live, what you think about the record?
Oh, man, that song is slamming.
It's Koga Brother Live, what you think about the record?
I love it. I'm a Big J Moss fan anyway, so anything he does is all right with me.
Sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm hot. Sometimes I'm prayerful. Another time I'm sometimes I feel like giving up, yeah. Sometimes my faith feels used. And every time I get in a bind, I know you're there. I send up this real simple prayer. Reveal me.
Well, I am so glad that you are with me tonight, and my name is Roderick Owensby, and this is the Roderick Owensby Show. We will continue with Ready or Not. There is an apostolic invasion coming. There is no do-it-yourself solution when it comes to proper ministry. You know, we must build on the foundation by which Christ suffered, died, rose again, and he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So we will be talking about continuing our subject, Ready or Not. There is an apostolic invasion coming. There is no do-it-yourself solution when it comes to proper ministry. Well, we're going to begin by five important insights that we must understand concerning the fivefold ministry and ministers. So as you listen, I want you to prayerfully, and I invite all pastors to listen in. Feel free to call 818-431-8553, 818-431-8553. And we're going to be sharing and giving great instructions concerning the body of Christ. You know, there are all they are all headship ministries, the fivefold ministries. They are headship ministries. Must be understood that they are an extension of headship ministries of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head. So therefore, the fivefold ministries are just an extension of the headship ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the chief apostle. He is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And they are the fivefold ministry, that is, they are body ministries, such as the gifts of ministries that the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit gives to the members of Christ's corporate body. Technically speaking, these are not gifts of the Holy Spirit, but ascension gifts of Jesus Christ himself. All fivefold ministers are called to govern, guide, gather, guard, and ground God's people. However, each has been given special grace. These are gifts of grace. So each particular ministry has been given special grace and gifted abilities in one area more than the others. These one-word explanations should not be seen as limitations on each minister's activity. So we must understand that the fivefold ministries have been given by Jesus Christ, who purchased the church with his own blood. And as I said last night, I'm calling for all pastors to please, and I say please in the Lord, not of my flesh. Examine the foundation of your ministry. Check for spiritual cracks and bubbles in your foundation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 declares this: the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So unless the foundation is properly set, then the whole thing is out of order. You understand? It's nothing more than a social club. Yes, nothing more than a social club. Now, some say that there is a tradition fivefold ministries, but I'll say there never has been a traditional fivefold ministry, because the modern day church, most of it is built upon not even a fivefold. It's only a onefold. You have a pastor, and that pastor controls every ministry in the house. This is not God's will, never been, and never will. So, but rather as a one-word description of each one's major anointing and divinely given ability, these anointings, these gifts, are like the point of a spear. Think about it. Not the whole head and shaft of the spear, but the point. It is unscriptural and unwise to put an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher into a religious box of limitations, limiting the anointings and activities of these divine graces. No scripture suggests that fivefold ministers are limited to certain ministerial activities or leadership positions. Listen closely. To all pastors, the fivefold ascension gifts of Christ overlap and integrate just as the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit do. Fivefold ministers are not independent ministries, but are vitally related to each other in Christ. They are five parts of one whole. They are five parts of one whole. It takes all five workings together to minister the fullness of Christ's ministry to the body of Christ. None are inferior or superior. Hear it again. None of these gifts are inferior or superior. But all are anointed and appointed of God for a specific purpose. And you'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. And I would suggest reading that whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. You know, it is detrimental to the function of the fivefold ministers to categorize them based on detail concerning personalities, performances, and positions. The Holy Spirit is also grieved when people formulate methods for evaluating and determining a fivefold ministry office. This is very important. Man cannot regulate these anointings. It's given directly by God. God has set these anointings in the body of Christ for the perfection of the saints and the work of the ministry, bringing the body of Christ into a spiritual unity, causing the anointing that ran down Aaron's beard to run down the beard of Jesus Christ onto the body. Okay? There's no personality profile when it comes to apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers. And we have many leaders with a Saul spirit who want to sort of approve what God had already said in the church, okay, by their own religious standards. God would not allow anything to take his place in this area. Each fivefold minister knows best his or her own calling and ministry. It is not the prerogative of the prophet to give guidelines, directions, and restrictions on the ministry of the apostle. We have that nowadays. We have the prophet giving guidelines to the apostles. It's completely out of order. Likewise, the apostle has not been granted authority from the Father God to be daddy or director over the prophet. You see, they work in their own function, not overlapping each other. They work together. So if you're in a ministry and you find a pastor who says, who tries to daddy the fivefold ministry and regulate it, it's completely out of order. I suggest to everyone, do not start a church without the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Many have gone out and started churches and have become spoiled by anniversaries and honor from people who agree with them, and now 20-some years down the road, God is trying to introduce them to the apostolic and prophetic movement, and they won't receive it. And so, therefore, who hurts the body of Christ? People that are following this type of spirit will not grow. This is called a Saul ministry. Only a prophet really knows the ministry and function of a prophet. And even one prophet should not try to box another prophet into his prophetic role. Okay? If you have prophets in your ministry, none of those prophets should try to box one another in and try to make everyone a copy of its own ministry. So not one prophet should try to box in another prophet into his or her prophetic role, personality, or performance. However, we all must receive from one another and be subject to correction and adjustments. The fivefold ministry can be illustrated by the human hand. Some insight into the interaction between fivefold ministers and the other members of the body of Christ can be gained by looking at the natural example of the human hand and the human body. Notice this, the saints are members of the body of Christ. They need the hand of God to minister to them. Most members of the human body are sanctionary and limited in their function to the rest of the body. However, The hand can minister to all members, from the head to the toe. Most of the hand ministries travel and minister to the saints throughout the world, worldwide, the corporate body of Christ. The fully restored hand of God of fivefold ministers is now ministering to the saints, preparing them for the coming Saint of God, Saints movement. Christ will be glorified in his saints, not in his church, not in some individual, but in his saints. Let's look at the apostle, the thumb. The thumb more properly represents the ministry of the apostle. Notice that the thumb can touch and minister to all four of the fingers. As the hand functions, sometimes it is flat and all fingers are side by side. When taking hold of something, the thumb goes to one side of the object and the fingers encircle from the opposite side. This motion of coming from opposite directions gives power to the hand. The thumb is not in opposition or over the fingers. It's not in opposition or over the fingers, but is designed to complete the hand for its full function and power. Listen closely. The hand of God of the fivefold ministry has been greatly restricted in its powerful purpose. It has had to function with only four fingers. The power and function is limited greatly by the lack of the thumb. Since all elements of the hand of God are being restored fully, the hand of God will be extended in full power and demonstration. The thumb, very important. Now, the prophet, which is the forefinger. The forefinger is referred to as the one that points. The prophet has the ministry of revelation and anointing that points the way for the body of Christ. The forefinger is also the one most closely related to the thumb. Though they reproach their grip on something from opposite directions, it is this opposite approach that gives the hand the power to take a powerful grip on things. You see, the prophet and apostles have the closest working relationship in their hand ministry to the body of Christ. I've seen this, and it is a sad situation. I've seen places that I've been, and there would be a, quote, house prophet, and many times this house prophet will come against the anointing of the apostle because of jealousy, because of territorial spirits trying to dominate the hand of God. What is a forefinger without a thumb? It's powerless. And then when you don't have the thumb to balance the forefinger, you end up not having a prophet, but somebody that's gossiping and pointing out others' faults. You see, the Bible talks about in Isaiah, it talks about, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Isaiah chapter 58. And then it talks about the fast that God has chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to set the captives free, and that ye destroy the yokes. And then the word of God declares, if you would take away from the midst of you the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanities. If you have a house prophet and that there is no apostle, that house prophet would turn from a prophet to the biggest gossiper in your ministry. Yes. Let's move forward. The evangelist, the middle finger. You see, the middle finger extends the farthest on the hand. It is the outreach ministry extended to the evangelization of the world. It is in the middle of all activities of the hand. It is usually the largest of the fingers. The evangelist usually has the largest meetings in evangelistic campaigns. The evangelist is a vital part of the ministry of the hand. I've seen ministries, and it's a sad thing, and you're talking over 30 years, 33 years in ministry, I've noticed there are many ministries who have no outreach. They have a reach in. Everything is a reaching in. It's more of a selfish spirit. Prophesied to the same folk every week, ministering to the same people every week. Instead of reaching out, if there's no reaching out, if there's no launching out, then the ministry is very much so off balance. Let's look at the ring finger, the pastor. This is the finger that the wedding ring goes on. The pastor is married to the saints. He is with them 24 hours a day. Prophets and evangelists come and go. But the pastor is bound to the local saints by the ring of their shepherding relationship. Now, this is dangerous. You know, in any marriage, you have issues arise. And many pastors, and this is the gift that Satan is more attractive to. He latches on to this pastor because of the marriage. And what does Satan hate more than anything? Any union. Anything that has to do with covenant. So in past previous years up until now, we have pastors who, instead of being married to the purpose of Christ, it has become a literal marriage and a spiritual mess. And the pastor becomes settled in his particular or her particular office or anointing and becomes self-centered, and it becomes all about them, rejecting the apostles, rejecting the prophet that they cannot rule or regulate or micromanage, rejecting the teacher that they cannot rule. And so now you have a territorial spirit called the pastor. And many people in those particular places, they are used to hearing, "You are my member. This is my church." So they become very territorial. It is a dangerous thing to be a pastor and not understand your function. Okay? And you can have what's called a dysfunctional marriage. The teacher, the little finger. Though the little finger is the smallest, it provides balance to the hand. The teaching of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, is desperately needed within the church, within the body. The teacher is a very important, a very vital member of the hand ministry of Christ to his church. You see, the hand is the only outward member of the body that can minister to all parts of the body, from front to back, from head to toe. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 5th and 6th verse says, "The saints are to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, and they will be exalted in due time." The fivefold ministry represents, ladies and gentlemen, the hand of God. Not the four fingers of God, not the three fingers of God, not the two fingers of God, not the one finger of God. But it represents the entire fivefold ministry, the hand of God. Without it, you don't have a grip. You don't have a fist to fight the enemy. You don't have power. So without all of the fingers being an operative to each local body, it is a ministry that is spiritually retarded. Ooh, did it hurt? Well, not really. It will help if you receive it. No matter how powerful a saint is in individual ministries, every saint still needs to be connected to a particular expression of God's corporate body. Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. Just as the day when God would glorify himself in his saints, average believers, rather than big name ministers, it is also about team ministry, not operating in isolation. Giftings and anointings are given by God, activated by faith. But maturity comes from years of submission to the process of God, which are worked out in us by interactions with one another. God created mankind to need relationships. And you find a pastor that doesn't want outside relationships, you'll find a pastor that is territorial. And then people are rebuked for not being at church, and it becomes a circus. People are being rebuked if they don't have this amount of money, if they don't have this pledge in, if they don't, you know, be a part of the fund rallies to build a new church. Most pastors want a new church but not a new people. So God is not interested in the Saul church. So God made us for relationship. The scripture says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Committed, accountable relationships with Christ's fivefold ministers provide the saints with accountability, mentoring, opportunities to minister, and to exercise flexibility, forgiveness, and love. So, so important. The greatest mark of maturity, or a mature minister or saint, is not the ability to prophesy powerfully or do miracles. It's the ability to get along well and work well with others. You know, many staff meetings that I have, I am not impressed with how well a person can prophesy. You find people that focus on how well they can prophesy, they will be the first one to turn on you, pastor. They will be the first one that will come against you. So do not focus on the gift. Focus on how well those who are in the fivefold ministry can get along with others. The church is both an army and a family. We are an army and a family. It is eternal. Don't think you will be able to go to heaven to sit on your cloud, play your harp, and get away from other people. You see, you will have to get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ forever. Nor will you be your own boss in heaven. You will have people over you forever. The saints who resist the change God is trying to bring into their character now will have to go through the same process in eternity. Listen. So get it now. You're going to have to be subject to somebody for the rest of your life now and later. So you might as well get properly positioned and let God adjust you now so you can be fully usable for his purpose on the earth today. Never allow your faith to become so presumptuous, believing that you can have the calling and abilities of all fivefold ministers. Only Jesus had the fullness of all five ministries in one human body. No other human can have the fullness of all five. You can operate, but not the fullness. Not even the Pope, an apostle over hundreds of ministers, or a pastor of a congregation of thousands, Christ never did and never will give all five gifts and anointings to any one person. But when he ascended on high, he did give his ministry to men and women. He took his whole ministry mantle and distributed it into five parts, dividing his wisdom, ability, and performance into five categories. That's the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He designated them with certain giftings that reveal their special gifts and ministries. And he gave to his corporate body. To some, he gave his apostle ministry. To others, his prophet mantle. To others, his pastoral anointing. To others, his evangelistic zeal. You'll never see a person that calls themselves an evangelist and they are just nonchalant, lukewarm. Oh, I guess I got to go preach somewhere. You know, if people get saved, they get saved. If they don't, they don't. No, you're not an evangelist. An evangelist has a fire seal, him or her, an anointing, a zeal with knowledge and power and grace to go out and compel men to come to Christ. So the whole ministry should be involved in evangelism. Paul was an apostle, but he evangelized. The early apostles, they evangelized. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. To every pastor, listen, we must get it together in order for Christ to be glorified. I'll be back in a moment. You are listening to the Roderick Owensby Show, and we are talking about, ready or not, there is an apostolic invasion coming. There is no do-it-yourself solution when it comes to proper ministry. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You know, there's just something about it.
I know that these words are denied.
Well, praise God, praise God. Ready or not, there is an apostolic invasion of the glory of God. And God is ready to activate each believer. I want to talk about activation and millennialism. I want to talk about activation because there are so many believers sitting in pews who have never been activated. There are so many believers who have powerful anointings, and they are just sitting dormant. That's over, ladies and gentlemen. If you know you have an anointing, rather than sit and die, you better get yourself activated. Because if the blind lead the blind, you're both going to fall in the ditch. What is activation? It is an exercise to challenge God's people to receive the truth and manifest the grace to do what the Bible says they can do. You see, in order for you to be who you are, to exercise the anointing on your life, you need to be activated. And this is why it's so important. You pastors, I love you, but there can be no activation without a proper foundation. You can't go out and build a house and say, hey, we can forget the foundation. Let's just get some wood. Let's get some nails. And let's get some mud. And when the mud hardens, let's put some 2x4s and let's build us a house. You can kill yourself. You have to have the proper foundation in order for the proper activation. It is a means, activation, of arousing, triggering, stirring, and releasing God's abilities within the saints. For example, saints can be activated to speak in tongues or prophesy or minister healing to one another. Gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, but activated by the faith of the believer, just as the gift of eternal life, which is freely given, but is not activated within individuals until he or she believes in the heart and confesses the Lord Jesus with the mouth. You activate salvation, Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, see, that's an activation, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So when you speak with your mouth, and you accepted the Lord Jesus and you confessed him with your mouth, you activated something that was freely given to you. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you are in a real, authentic, apostolic, prophetic, anointed ministry, then there must be an activation of what you have. How many people came to Jesus, heard a good song, heard a good message, confess the Lord Jesus, believe that he came, died, rose again, and they're saved, and then told to go sit down? Years passed, you got on an auxiliary in the church, I quote, working in the church with no activation. If you're not activated, then what you have in you is a true gift, but it has not come alive. Very important. We need an in-depth study of the word. Anoint reveals that it was used to consecrate people. That is an anointing and mantle. The anointing consecrates people. You remember when God spoke to Samuel? The prophet would anoint the king. That was an activation of the kingly anointing. And once it's been activated, then now you're ready for sacred use. Okay? So the anointing is used to consecrate people to a particular position of ministry. Prophet Isaiah declared that we destroyed yokes because of the anointing. Isaiah, the 10th chapter, verse 27. In our present day, this means the manifest presence of God upon a person to meet a specific need. To say a person has an apostolic or prophetic anointing means that he or she has the calling to minister at certain times with the supernatural gifts of the prophet or apostle. I never will forget in many tent revivals, after the Holy Spirit and the activation, and I remember, and it still happens, at times the Holy Spirit would fall upon me and the wheelchairs would be empty, cancer would be, I've seen a woman spit up cancer, and many, many miracles that still happen because of this activation. And there was a time when I would lay hands on the sick by the permission of God, but it seems to be now at the word spoken. You know, early in ministry, it was more laying on of hands, tent revivals and revivals here and there. But now, because of the submission to the Holy Spirit, there's an elevation. Now, by the Holy Spirit, God causes me to speak his word, and his word makes them whole. So, giving God all the glory, we must have the activation of the Holy Spirit in order to work in the supernatural. Today, more than ever, with the economy like it is, God is elevating us, moving us to a higher place in the dimensions of the Spirit on the level of the supernatural. Yes, there's needs of finances. Yes, there's needs of homes. Yes, there's needs. But through submitting to the Holy Spirit, things happen. Things happen. Me and my queen walk by faith in God. And I would not even tell you some of the things that we experience, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And what's so wonderful with me and my queen, we keep a Holy Ghost romantic attitude. I cannot stress it enough. You that are married or even single, when you walk this walk of faith, by all means, get in Matthew 5. The Beatitudes are the right attitude to be in. That's why they are called Beatitudes. The right attitude to be in. So when you have a holy attitude, things happen. Things happen. Let me share something personal with you. You're listening all over the nation. We had not, my queen and I, had not had an automobile for some time. Yet we have walked by faith. God has been supplying our needs supernaturally. And by the Holy Spirit, I was led to get up about 2 hours before, as we were preparing to come on. I came back to our abode driving an automobile. Not because of Roderick, not because of who I am, but because we trust in the living God. Without a dime, God spoke to another mighty man of God and released a vehicle. 2 days before, we go to work. It's not by accident that we're going to work in the places that we have been staying in, hotels. I'm talking to somebody. I don't have to share this, but I have to do it because somebody else needs to hear, and we overcome by the words of our testimony. I want to encourage you all right now that are experiencing challenges with your home. We pray for the people in the Mississippi and the flooded areas. We pray that the angel of rescue, that there be an army released in the earth. And the word of God says he reigned upon the just as well as the unjust. I'm talking about just and unjust. God, send help. Raise us up that we may be able to help. Because I wouldn't want to be a rich person nowadays that have lived and enjoyed their life financially but have not blessed people who were less fortunate. I'm not just talking about a charity. I'm talking about listening to God, seeing people, helping people. There are those who do, but God is raising up another, a different caliber of rich people, and they would be liberal. He that lendeth to the poor lendeth to God. Would speak that God will rescue those. And I pray, me and my queen, we pray for those that are staying in her hotels and waiting, that are in transition. I want to give a word to everyone. Those that are in home, that is about to lose your home, I want to give you a word in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is a mighty transfer of wealth going on. You may not see it with your naked eye, but you're going to be astonished at where God is taking you. You're going from a cave to a kingdom. You're going from a pit to a palace. You're going from lack to plenty. You're going from broke to much. Isn't that good? You got a word? And I'm not asking you for a dime. What I am asking you for is to pray. Pray for this work. This work is of God. So many of God's people, God is raising you. It may seem tough, and you don't have to hang in there. Keep walking. So there's a mighty mantle of the prophet and apostle. The word mantle has a similar meaning. If someone has prophesied that you have a prophetic mantle, it implies that you can minister in prophetic ministry. To what realm will be determined by time and use. If you have a prophetic mantle, write this down. Get your pen. Write it down. Exodus, the 28th chapter. Read it all, but notice verse 41. Psalms, the 2nd chapter. Also Psalms, the 23rd chapter. Also Psalms 105 and 15. Zechariah 4 and 6. Hebrews 1 and 9. Again, that's Exodus 28, Psalms, the 2nd chapter, Psalms, 23rd chapter, notice verse 5, Psalms 105, verse 15, Zechariah 4, verse 6, the New Testament book of Hebrews 1 and 9, the apostle. So important that people understand this. One of the fivefold ministries of Ephesians 4 and 11 is a foundation laying ministry. Ephesians 2 and 20, church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is seen in the New Testament establishing new churches. Paul was a missionary, correcting error by establishing proper order and structure. That's why many pastors don't want this, because that apostle ministry brings correction. And also the book of 1 Corinthians, and acting as an oversight ministry that fathers other ministries. Time would not allow me to share with you all the ministries around the world that God has given me oversight. We're not limited to a building, but the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, which you are. The New Testament apostle has a revelatory anointing. That's Ephesians 3 and 5. Some major characteristics are great patience, and manifestation of signs and wonders and miracles. Let's focus on the real apostles and prophets in the marketplace. Those called to the fivefold offices of apostle or prophet who function primarily in business, government, or a secular arena rather than inside a local church. Yes, God's apostles and prophets are operating in government, business, secular arena. Apostolic prophetic counseling, one-on-one ministry to help people with scriptural wisdom and insight, but also with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to discover root problems and minister deliverance, inner healing. This happens so much with my queen and I. Even today, hours and hours spent on the phone, and people are delivered. And most of this stuff can't happen in a church that is full of tradition. So we're seeing people delivered. No limitations on what God is doing. The apostolic prophetic counseling serves a little different purpose than the ministry of the prophet, prophetic presbytery, or general counseling. The word of knowledge and discerning of spirits are two key gifts necessary, ladies and gentlemen, to move in this realm effectively. Allows the counselor to cut through hours of discussion and look beyond the veil of human reasoning to get right to the heart of the matter and bring resolution. This is a powerful anointing. Powerful anointing. And it has been activated. This is what makes biblical counseling much more effective than that of psychologists who use only human wisdom and psychology. Deals with the root more than the fruit. Apostolic prophetic ministries, all methods by which the Holy Spirit makes known the heart and mind of Christ to the people. Prophetic ministry includes the ministry of the prophet, the ascension gift office of the prophet. Don't think that, you know, I see things that are so sad on television. And of course, we don't mention names. But prophets who charge people a certain amount of money to receive a word, incorrect. And I speak as an apostle. This is incorrect. Now, if they wanted to be a human psychologist, they should have went to school for that. But don't get in the kingdom of God and have a charge, okay, and then give a some kind of a word that's actually a general word. I can say right now, somebody's suffering from feet problems. Well, you know, we have billions of people on earth. Somebody is suffering from foot problems. The devil is a liar. But with the real anointing will not only speak a word, but a specific word, but without charge, without financial gain. See, I believe that God speaks to people and tell them to invest. I believe that. In our ministries, people often ask us, how come you don't lift offerings like others? Well, I said I can't speak for others, but God has given us a mandate. God will speak, and there are people that God speak and tell them to give, and they won't, and they rather give to a Saul ministry. They rather give to where they are not fed. Just because somebody reads a scripture to you, it doesn't mean that you're being fed. So people have to understand where you are and where you want to be. If you want to be used mightily by God, you have to hear what God is saying, and you have to think outside of the religious box and move on it. It's that simple. But if you want to be hoodwinked, deceived, then there's plenty out there that can do that. And we'll charge you for it. In other words, let me charge you for deceiving you. Isn't that amazing? So we have the apostolic prophetic ministry. And the Holy Spirit has given these gifts. See, apostolic ministry is moving in the supernatural ministry of signs and wonders and miracles while maintaining a proper relationship in the body of Christ. It includes those called to the office of apostle, those with an apostolic anointing, and all saints who demonstrate the supernatural work of Jesus in their lives and ministries. You see, saints who are full of the Holy Spirit and fulfill the command to desire spiritual gifts and covet to prophesy, 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, they believe in the support, the ministry of apostles and prophets in the church today. Yes, you are supposed to desire spiritual gifts. They earnestly desire and are exercising their spiritual senses to be fully educated and activated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Christ has ordained for them. They are also submitted to divine authority and order. Hebrews 5 and 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 1, 7 and 11. And also the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and verse 16. This is so important. We're going to take a break. Any questions that anyone has, feel free to call 818-431-8553. I'll be back in a moment. Well, bless the Lord. God is good. I am so excited. I want to see if I have some believers on with me. God bless you. How are you all doing? God bless you. You're on the Roderick Owensby Show.
Hello.
Hello. Y'all, what's your name?
It's Antoinette.
Y'all better not take so long. I'm trying to make show you hospitality. Jesus. Okay, I love y'all. Is my sister cousin on?
She was earlier. She said, but I'm not sure she is now.
I'm praying for her. No, I love her. I love her. Her birthday is coming up. Telling the whole world. I think
she's
Monday.
She's trying to get her homework done.
She's trying to get. I love my cousin. You know it. Our relationship is just one that we just talk to each other and we love on each other. Antoinette, what are you receiving tonight? What are you receiving from what our lesson?
Well, I'm getting a different perspective on apostolic ministry because I've sat in an apostolic ministry for over 20 years, and I hear some of your points are similar to what I've been under for 20 years. But
good.
I'm just now starting to really hear that, really, if you are in apostolic ministry, signs and wonders, the supernatural really should be happening. And I don't know where I got off to, why I didn't really pay attention to that. But there had been an issue with me or for me. Even though if it's supernatural, you still want to see the spectacular. But sometimes I've seen in the in Christendom or in some churches, they try to talk you out of the spectacular, and they try to just make the supernatural natural, and won't give an explanation as to why the Spirit of God is not moving in churches.
Wow.
Amen.
I love what you said. who jumped in? Who was that?
I think that was Angela.
Angela, I'm asking God to touch you. Touch your mind, God. Touch your mind. Touch your spirit. There's a sword in heaven of a new mind. Ask God for one of them. No, I love my sister cousin. Happy birthday coming up to you. Happy birthday coming up the 23rd of May to you. Happy birthday, dear Angela. Happy birthday. Come on, say it again. Happy birthday. Say it again. Cut it off. Happy birthday to you. Angela, remember Miss Helen used to make us sing?
Yes, she made us sing.
Oh, she used to make us sing. Mother Caldonia hit me with a hanger downstairs. How about pain? I said, why are y'all so mean?
I miss them folks.
I miss all of them. Oh, man.
You know, her sister just died last year.
Really?
And Pearl lived to be how old? Close to
90? 90 something. Almost
100,
I know.
Yeah, she was getting there.
Bless her heart.
And she was a prayer warrior.
She was a mighty prayer warrior, and she was a powerful, hanger-whooping, anointed woman. So I praise God. No, she didn't abuse us, but they made us pray.
Yes, she was praying on her way out of here.
You know she was. Those are strong saints.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, I thank God for you and Antoinette. I thank God for the fellowship that me and my queen, we talk about y'all often. I just cannot stand the fact I have not seen my sister cousin in years. Last time I saw you, I think we was in South Bend.
Yes.
South Bend.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm just thankful for my friend on internet. Because I hear a change in her voice.
to God be the glory.
Ever since she hooked up with Roderick and Katrina.
To God be the glory. Look at y'all. Y'all get along so good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you get along. When you love God, you're not stiff, you're not bored. This is how you get along. Y'all two women of God, share something this, on any subject. We'll take a little break from this because God has been really dealing with me about proper church ministry. What's going on in your life that you want to share with the people?
You go first on it.
I don't know what I'm... Well, what's going on in my life is God is truly teaching me how to trust him.
Wow.
That has just been an issue with me really all of my life. I just have had trust issues with the Lord. But God has always been with me every step of the way in my life, which Jesus has anyway. Because when I was a small kid, Jesus was my only friend. You know, and when you're smaller, they tell you you must be born again. But when you, they don't really show you how you got to be born again. That's where I was, a nine and 10-year-old kid, always wanting to be saved, wanting to know Jesus. But I just knew him as friend. I didn't know him as Lord, or I didn't know him as Savior. I didn't know him as the one that could save me from hell, but I believed in Jesus now. And all the time through, from when I was smaller up to now, whether I was saved or unsaved, well, or whether I thought I was saved or unsaved or not, Jesus was always with me. Always with me. Didn't have a good concept of what a father was, but as I got born again, starting to walk with the Lord, learn who God the Father is. But had trust issues. Trust issues with him being my provider, with him not never leaving me. But God showed me here really these last couple of days, really these last, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that he has always been with me. He's going to always be with me. Whether I trust or not, whether I trust or believe or not, God still is yet with me. He's going to be with me. He's opened my eyes to see that I can trust him. I can do what these kids be doing in this house, doing this trust fall. If I fall, he's going to catch me. If I fall and I step on the other side and I miss him, only because I moved out the way, he don't catch me. If I hit the floor, he's going to pick me up. If I'm on the floor and I'm in excruciating pain, yet God is with me in that pain. He going to heal me. He going to fix me up. He going to set my feet on the path of righteousness. He going to keep me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm going to learn to trust him no matter what it takes. He going to put me in the fix to where I have to learn to continue to trust him because I didn't open my mouth and said thus and so. But this last year has really been a ride. Well, I have to learn to trust God for everything and learn to trust him in everything. Meaning I have to have faith in him. I have to believe in him. I have to know that he is with me in trouble and out of trouble. That's all I got to say. Because truly, yesterday I got set free from some things. Roger gave me the word, and that's what I value most than, more so than anything, is the word. Like you said, he told me, if I give you the word, you argue with the word, that's up to you. I don't have to argue with the word because that's the word. The word is true. Ain't no lie in the word of God. The word of God is true. So if I trust in the word, I know that things are going to be all right. Maybe not when I want them to, but God is going to take me patiently through. He's going to be in it with me. He's going to be walking beside me in it because I trust in him. I trust in his word, and I know that he is with me because I have his word, and I have his spirit. But I need to stop now so Angie can talk.
Girl,
I got a revelation on some things. I got a revelation on some things.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to say this. I am tremendously moved by what you are saying. Me and my queen, we talk about this. Listen, Angela, I cannot tell you, thank you for this soul that you brought. Man, Angela just don't know how God uses her. I mean, it's just on time. Listen, you are a blessing to this ministry. You are a blessing. Everything you said, Antoinette, we give God the glory for what he is doing. Praise God. My sister, cousin, Angela, talk to the people.
Well, I just want to say that I'm almost in the same predicament. God told me to leave, and where I was in my comfort zone, having a job, and even though I worried, I still was blessed to have 3 jobs, down to 2 jobs, and then I said, okay, Lord, I lost everything but my job, so what do I do, and Lord told me to come to California, and believe me, I have to learn how to trust him being here without no natural job, punching the clock every day. So my trust issue has been there. I have to really trust God financially. I'm telling you.
Can you hold one second? Can you hold one second? I'm sorry. Who TV? Is that Tom and Jerry? Somebody TV is loud. Y'all know me. I'm just me.
That was me. I can't turn it up, so I put it on mute. Sorry.
No, man, it doesn't. No. I love you. To know me, to know I mean no harm. I love you. Go ahead, Andrew.
So I was sharing with Antoinette about being in the river. I said, in the wilderness. I feel like I'm in the wilderness. And she says, well, Angela, I'm here to tell you there's a help in the wilderness. I said, wow. I could just see myself walking around. Okay, girl, I'm out here. I have nobody to depend on but you. I said, this is a tough job for me. So every day I have to trust the Lord. I try not to look at the big picture. I just take it one day at a time. This is a really trust issue for me right here, trusting God no matter what, how things go. So Lord, just share with me a couple of days, start praying with my grandchildren and my daughter in the morning. So I've been doing that and thanking him for just everything that he's already blessed me with and taking care of me. And it's a journey. That's all I can say right now.
Can I encourage you? Can I tell you something that's so powerful about you?
What?
You prayed, and girl, receive it. You prayed for me and my wife. You cried out to God, and I mean the anointing came through this phone. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman prayed, and we felt heaven come down. It was late one morning after getting off of the broadcast. Angela, today I was led to get up and leave and go to a Bible study. 2 hours before the broadcast, I told my queen I'll be back. Do you not know I drove back with a vehicle?
I heard you.
They just released, and I'm saying this for people. We just got the schedule for the job, and tonight, I drove back. A man of God said, here. He led to give me this. Angela? This has to do with your prayers. You better hear this, young lady. Now, the anointing flows what? Down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I want you to hear this, and this is the Holy Spirit. You prayed, and your prayers went up. You know what proved that it's coming down to you? It hit me. You're next.
And I was just thinking that today.
Are you serious?
This is what I was thinking. I said, God, if your people are really praying and hearing your voice, why don't they know that their body out here is going through? Why aren't they touched to go help someone?
That's right.
Why do you have to go to them and say, do I need? The body ought to discern the body enough to know, okay, You got it, release it. Why are you holding on to it? If you truly say you truly trust in God in your financial situation or whatever it is, your soul or your family or whatever it is, then you got to release something, you know? And I've always, when I had it, I did it. I'm serious. Right now, I'm at that point where I'm at my lowest, and I'm like, oh, wow, God. Now, how can I sense other people and go bless them, and people can't sense that when I'm going through? And we're in the same body. I said, I asked God that today. What is wrong with the body? We're supposed to take care of one another.
You know what's wrong with the body? It's why I'm teaching about proper ministry. I'm going to have my queen, ladies and gentlemen, read a word that I just released on Facebook that goes with what you're saying, Angie, and then I want to tell you something, Angie.
Okay.
This is the word that my king, Roger Gornsby, just put on Facebook. The Lord is speaking in the hearts of many at this very moment. Let us make sure we obey his voice. Release it, and it will return back again. Hold on to it, and nothing will manifest.
Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, that's true.
The body of Christ is going to have to become sensitive to one another.
Mm-hmm.
There are you in the body of Christ, and I feel this by the Holy Spirit, you have been given to ministries that don't need it. And instead of giving to ministry that is standing on the front line decreeing the truth, you have held your money. But I promise you this. You have given to those that charge for a prophecy, but those that don't charge, you have held your hand back. Now is the time for the body of Christ to be sensitive to one another's needs. In the book of Acts, they had all things common. And I decree healing in the body of Christ. Pastors,
amen.
You must begin to teach the ministry of Jesus Christ as never before. You must not make people feel like they are cursed if they don't pay this or pay that. This thing is not a me thing, it's a we thing. You never found me in the Lord's Prayer. It was us. It is us. Deliver us from evil. Us. So in order for the body of Christ to thrive and to be successful, we're going to have to start giving to one another.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that God could speak to anybody and they will give you a call. The Lord put you on my heart. I never forget my mom and dad. There was a mother named Mother Newson. She's with the Lord now. I looked outside and here come a truck with a brand new washer and dryer. My mom had just moved into this house with 8 children. This mother heard the Holy Ghost tell her to get up and go buy a brand new washer and dryer. This woman came with the truck, gave it to my mother. I never forget, she was weeping. Let me tell you something. I remember I was in Kokomo, Indiana, and Deborah and my children were young, Angela. The Holy Spirit told me to get up, get dressed. And I said, what do you want me to do now, Lord? He said, stay there. A knock came to my door. There was no food. I had a part-time job. There was no food. Do you not know 3 mothers came from a church? The Holy Spirit told them to go shopping for me, and they knocked at the door. As soon as I put, the Lord said, get dressed like you're going out, going to church or somewhere. Knock came at my door. And we received $200 worth of food. Don't tell me that God is not speaking to some people. But no, people want to give where they are seen. And that comes from religious leaders. I love you all. I haven't mentioned no names, so don't get funny with me. I'm speaking to every pastor. Teach your folk to be sensitive to God, and not all of it is about your church.
Amen.
I speak as an apostle. God gave me this authority. God gave it to me.
Yeah.
Being an apostle is not about a building. It's about people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Man said the other day, he said, I heard you was an apostle. How many churches you have? I said, that depends on how you look at it. He said, what do you mean? He said, how many churches do you have? I said, I can't count them. I said, now, are you talking about a building or people? And I said, if you're talking about a building, you can count those with your hands. But if you're talking about people, you can't count them. I said, I remind you of King David when he gave a census. He took a census, and he began to number the people. It made God angry. Well, he left, and I haven't heard from him. Because people think that being an apostle is about how many churches you have. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And we've got to stop putting emphasis on bricks and start putting the emphasis on the temples of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, because it's outside the walls.
That's why God has me in the secular. He has me dealing with the hip-hop community. He has me see the apostolic is not in the four. You never found a prophet sitting up in the church. Daniel was dealing with the Babylonian Empire. The prophets of old did not sit in a church. So praise God. Angela, I want to tell you, God has heard your cry today. He has answered your cry.
Oh, wow.
Woman, I'm telling it before the world. Angela, you're going to get on, listen, you're going to get on this broadcast and you're going to give a testimony, and it's probably going to take the whole 2 hours. And you know your cousin don't mind. Just as sure as your birthday coming up, you have just been released. You're going from a cave to a palace.
Amen.
Oh, you watch it. So don't you listen, your prayer worked for me to work for you.
Mm.
But sometimes God will use, and see, I understand that. God will use us and our faith to bless somebody else, and we'll be walking around like hello.
And people don't
but
know.
See, you
got to
remember, Angela, you got to remember this. God so loved the world until he gave.
Yes, he did.
So never feel bad because you gave and you prayed, and I know you don't, and God moved. That's saying that, honey, that same God that moved on the behalf of your cousin, when you prayed, I felt goosebumps more than I ever felt in my life. Me and my wife, it was like a blanket fell on us as you prayed. Well, things are happening for us due to a righteous woman praying. Now the anointing flows down. And the husband must be the first partaker. So it's not by accident that God wanted you to bless the man of God. I'm telling you some church folk, don't think that the only man of God is your leader. We got to get out of this gang-banging mentality, my block.
Yes.
The body of Christ is universal.
Yes, it is.
And we got to start loving each other. What church you go to? I go to this church. Don't nobody give a foot what church you go to. It's the body of Christ.
It's the truth.
How you members of the body of Christ, because somebody go over here to the slow church of God in Christ, and you go to the fast church of raising hell, all of y'all can.
Mm.
Don't treat a member of the body of Christ any less than yourself because they're not a member of your particular local assembly. That's how gangbangers do. Yes, Lord. Amen, angels. That's how gangbangers do. Because you on this gang, you're part of this gang, so they're going to treat you funny. You in my neighborhood. You on my turf. The territorial spirits. Got a bunch of wah-wahs in the pulpit. Come on, y'all.
It's true.
People jealous of somebody anointing.
It's true.
That's why Saul was rejected from being king.
Mm.
Because of his rebellious heart. Because you've been pastor 20 years, it don't mean that you're out of diapers.
Mm-mm. Thank you, Lord.
And that's why the rejection of the apostles, because the apostles don't spare anyone. See, I'm trying to get a check. See, I'm not trying to win. You know, I'm the type of person, let me tell you something, to God be the glory, my queen to tell you, I don't care if you don't, I like Roderick. I don't need everybody to like me walking around like I got to have everybody on my side. I like me. As long as I like me, that's a majority. Listen, you wouldn't want to be me. Because some people don't understand. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. I always told
That's
God
right.
from a child, I say, God, make me a man. I don't know what a man is. I know by looking at my father, but you make me a man. So God made me a man. You know what he told me? He said, man, encourage yourself.
That's right.
I encourage myself. I sit down on the piano and play myself a song.
Man.
It hasn't been easy. Some of y'all, listen to me. I started preaching at 14, and my ministry is just now beginning.
Ooh, hallelujah.
At 14 years old, at New Bethany, Church of God in Christ, under the late Bishop M.L. Hall, June the 25th, 1978, Roderick Ornsby Sr. preached his first message, Matthew, the 25th chapter. I said, my message was, don't be a fool. I've been a fool ever since.
Lord, oh, Lord.
I'm trying to tell you a story. 14 years ago, I've been married, I've been divorced, I've been through hell. I know what it is to have a son and he go to heaven. My oldest son, the enemy tried to take him, and
yes.
God spared his life. I've
Man,
been through some stuff, baby. So don't come upon me thinking I'm some punk. I ain't no punk. But I guarantee you right now that it's been in the making. I've been on the backside of the desert. I ain't playing. I just came out the cave. I ain't somebody to fool with.
Okay.
And
Amen.
I don't have a short sword. My sword is long, and it's sharp on both sides. And I'm telling you, Pastor, get your tail off your high horse and take that crown of pride off. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. Who you supposed to be?
In the name of Jesus.
Humble yourself. Talk about Pastor Anniversary. I'm so sick of these anniversaries. Folk have 4 or 5 anniversaries. Give Jesus an anniversary.
So am I.
I'm so tired of this. That y'all get the money for the pastor. Y'all know y'all promised $50. Everybody, hell, for half the folk on welfare, anybody got time to give you $50 on the way. You give the people $50.
Amen.
Every time you turn around, we got the pastor a new suit. He got a wife.
Amen.
I'm going to tell it like a T.I. is. Listen, why can I say it? I pastored a church for 6 years and told them, do not give me a salary. I came into a neighborhood where half of the folk was on welfare. But you know what? Before it was over, God prospered the people.
Okay.
He prospered
That's
the people.
How he
I,
does.
Said, I told them I'm going to show y'all and give y'all an example of a true man of God. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I made plenty of blunders and mistakes. But one thing I've never done, I never raised more than one offering, and I never begged people to give a dime. Never, ever, ever, ever have I done that. I've been to some of these churches. I didn't know whether it was an auction or an offering. Can I get a 10? Can I get a 20? Can I get a 35, 40, 50? Sold. And then old lazy deacon come out and whisper in the pastor's ear. I say, oh, Lord, they're going to ask for more money. We need another $200. Go to work. Folk going to church, catching the bus home, talking about, I've got to get my money for the pastor. I know my light bill's due. Are you retarded? You got a light bill due? And you going to get the money to the church? You have lost your ever-loving mind. Ain't that much faithfulness in the hell. I mean it. I love y'all. Speaking of, you know that's not faithfulness. That's dumb. Freedom.
That's
free and dumb.
That's right.
I love you, people of God. And then the pastor sitting around with a new car every 2 years, and you smiling when he drive up, and you just get off the bus. Slow city. Slow. Something wrong with that picture.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Pastor, yes,
so
my name is Roderick
true.
Owensby. I mean what I'm saying.
Oh,
God
Jesus.
Ain't never called no man to pimp a church,
oh,
and everybody got to worry about. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say it again. Every pastor listening to me, don't you know when you ask for extra dollars, you are borrowing money from the people. You
That's
owe
true.
Those people that money back. But then when somebody come to you and say, I need help with something, then you're going to tell them, I need you to pay me back my money. You little pimp. Pay the
That's
people
true.
Back.
That's right.
I'm not sparing nobody. I'm tired. Listen, the church is not ran like that.
That's right.
You won't find that mess in the book of Acts. They laid the money at the apostles' feet, and the Bible said distribution was made. In other words, the apostles made sure that if, let me bring it up to modern time, if somebody had a light bill due, they took care of it. If somebody, how you going to have folk in the church given to you and they're hurting? Oh, that's demonic. How you going to have somebody in your church singing in the choir, then you go tell them, keep on praising the Lord, he going to come through for you. Give me my money back and he'll come through today.
Oh,
they talk about we give you a print up and you can file your taxes. Ain't nobody got time to wait a whole year to get back what you stole. People get smart. It's like a prostitute selling their body and then giving their money to the pimp.
Yes, that's true.
You selling your body and you gonna give it to some man and you gonna sit there and look like I'm just working on the foundation. I'm working on my mansion in heaven. Hell, get a mansion on earth. God ain't never told you mansion in heaven. He said, in my Father's are many mansions.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus.
Some people say, Roddy, don't talk like that. Listen, I love you enough to talk like this. Ain't nobody trying to be super holy.
That's right. Tell the truth.
You being
tell
wrong.
The
I'm saying the same truth. Thing that some of you folks say when you're not on radio. I'm just bold enough to say it.
Yes. Yes.
Because I love the people. I love you, ladies and gentlemen, too much to let you be blind. That's why the pastor gives. Y'all watch this. Watch this. Fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Satan says, I choose the ring finger, the pastor.
Yeah.
It's incorrect for a pastor to start a church. It's not Bible. The apostles have the foundation. How are you going to build a house without a foundation? Ephesians 2 and 20, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. How are you going to build a house without laying a foundation? So any man that goes out and sets to start a church without being called and having the anointing of an apostle or prophet is out of order. So we got over 80% of the churches that God never meant to be. Oh.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Because some man that decided, ooh, you believe in me? Okay, come with me. You like me? Oh, yeah, I like you. I think you need to start a church. Okay. And then he going to get some church. He going to get a building, and he going to call it a church and get some silly women following him.
Yep, and that's what happened to me in Flint, Michigan, so that's so true.
And they're going to get up there, get their little tambourines and start, look, you know, having testimony service, and they're going to sing their little song, and then he's going to do hollering and preach, put his hand behind his ear, and then 20 years later, you got a fool in a pulpit that think God called him to rule people.
Yes.
And don't let nobody walk in with an anointing, and then he look at the folk looking at him and say, uh-oh, these people believe in him. I went to church one time and preached. My queen, we laugh about this. And the Holy Ghost fell on me. I started preaching Jesus Christ, to God be the glory. People started running up, giving money, laying it at my feet. I said, ooh, here comes Saul. That pastor got so jealous. Oh, my God. I looked at my
That's
queen. I said, here come a fight. He got jealous and rebuked the folk.
Yes, that's so true.
And
I've
then they took
that.
The offering in the back and stole it.
Yes, they do that too.
They stole. Now, listen. I'm a Godfather-minded person, and I thank God for saving me. You know why? I seen the time that I wasn't as anointed. I seen the time I'm sitting in the office or and telling the pastor, okay, you robbed me. Now you give me what's due. I meant it, and I walked out of there with what was due and never went back. I said, listen, I've never robbed anybody when it comes to money. And I said, I'd be bleep if you robbed me.
That's right.
I did. See, some of y'all get saved and you get weak.
That's true.
Some folks get meekness with weak. Moses would cut your head off. Moses was a meek man, but he was a warrior. See, folk got to read. Abraham was a man of faith, but he, listen, when it was time to go get Lot, he kicked some butts. Let's get real, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
David with no punk?
Mm.
And look,
Amen.
Jesus snapped.
Amen.
Oh, y'all going to sell in the temple? Where's the rope? See, we got the word backwards. That's because people want to keep people in bondage, so they want to paint you this nice look at Jesus. Boy, I seen a show the other day. They had Jesus. He was looking so feminine. Had Jesus like he was. Anyway. Who else do I have on with me? God bless you. You're on the Roderick Owensby Show. God bless you.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
How's Trina?
My queen is doing fabulous. What's on your spirit?
Well, I've been actually listening about the last 20, 25 minutes, and I'm actually feeling this. I'm totally feeling it.
Wonderful. Go ahead, speak your heart. This is Albert.
I see you have new people on, and they're just as passionate and energetic as you are. That is beautiful.
Yes. I love it. I love sharing.
Yes.
Speak to the people, woman of God. What's in your heart?
Nothing. Everything you were saying actually was touching bases when it came down to the whole thing about the church and what's been going on with the, you know, the stuff going on in church and things of that nature. I'm actually certain that's the reason why I haven't been in church. The church is actually within me. So I feel exactly what you're saying 100%. And I see that everyone else on the board and everyone else on the radio actually feels exactly what you're feeling too.
Well, it's time for a change. Can I tell y'all something that's so vitally important? This is the second day I've been on this. Listen closely. This is going to bless your spirit. John the Baptist was a prophet, correct? And John the Baptist came in the spirit of who? Elijah. For what purpose? To prepare the way for the Messiah, correct? Now, the company of prophets and apostles will equip the church in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with the family ministry. Listen,
yeah.
The church is hurting. Pastors, you cannot afford not to have the anointing of apostles and prophets in your ministry. Now, I'm not talking about these house prophets that only want to prophesy to their cousins.
Mm-mm.
I'm not talking about these political prophets. I've seen a man that called himself a prophet on television. We don't mention names. But he was telling the people to give an X amount of dollars, and then he'll give them a prophet. Prophecy. Now, you know, that's a bunch of bull crap, witchcraft.
Yeah, it is. That's what that is.
There was
is.
A man in the Bible, the servant of Elisha was cursed. Hear me. Gehazi was cursed because he went to receive an offering.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha said, don't you know my spirit went with you? And the man was changed from black to white. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Ain't no sense in me sugarcoating it. He was cursed.
Mm-hmm,
now, let me tell you something. Anybody that do not receive the truth, you see, God calls radical people. See, what you're hearing is a voice that's crying out in the wilderness. God calls radical people. God doesn't call political people.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't call anybody that want to say something nice so he can get or she can get support.
Uh-huh. That's true.
I know you're not yarning on the radio.
I'm sorry. No.
I love y'all. But do you understand?
Yeah,
see, one thing about me that I think y'all appreciate is I tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have folks in the past that get upset with me because they can't handle the fact that I'm real. And then they get upset with me. And that's okay because I'm not just teaching to one person. I'm teaching nations. Come on here.
Come on.
So if a person can't say, see, this man and this woman is raw, is real, you can't have feelings with the true apostles. And the feelings are not included. You got to know this man is here to help me. If you got a car and you take it to somebody that just fixed cars on the side, then if something go wrong, that's your fault. Come on.
That's true.
But if you really want it fixed, you're going to take it to a what? Specialist.
A mechanic, yeah.
You're going to take it to a good mechanic. Then you can fuss because you got a warranty.
Amen. Come on.
And that's the way it is with apostles and prophets. Pastors have gotten lazy with just being a pastor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And carrying people straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. On earth. Because they're missing out on their inheritance due to following a man instead of following the purpose of God. But God has called us to reconciliation. God has pastors after his own heart that accept the apostolic and prophetic anointing. God has men and women that says, yes, I will not close my doors to the true apostles and prophets. If I do, then I have closed the door to the people's success in ministry. So let us be encouraged. And pastors, you that are willing to change your program into God's purpose, God will bless your ministry. You think you're seeing growth now. And see, God's not going to send anybody you know. That's why you're listening to me now. You won't call in, but you call in enough to listen. Some of you listening on your internet, all over the nation. God has sent me and my queen to you for your breakthrough. See, God's not going to send. See, when Jesus came, they didn't expect Jesus to come that way. No, I'm not Jesus. You know what? I couldn't have been Jesus because I'd have whooped some heads.
Me too.
I'd have bust some stuff. I'm telling you. So, no, I'm not Jesus. I'll tell folks in a minute, no. And I can call angels? Oh, no. You don't. Mm-mm. So God will send somebody to you that have the patience to deal with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I never say this, but I have. There's many pastors that call as a result of this broadcast. People are hungry, and they want to do it different. So I pray that this will bring change. Now God's going to have to change your Sunday morning services, Pastor. You've been doing things a certain way. Now you got to do it God's way. You got to bring deliverance. You've been having folks sit on the front pew that look nice. It may be some gangbangers come in and sit on the front row.
Yes,
so folks come in with earrings and walking to the left.
Come on.
You have some gangsters come in there. You have some prostitutes, people selling their body. Let them in. God will change your whole ministry. You have some people come in, they may smell. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to have your ministry ready to receive the highways and hedges people.
Sure.
Because how is God going to work miracles and you scared of dirt?
Come on.
Oh, don't start me. I feel another snap coming. Don't think miracles and signs and wonders are going to come and you scared to deal with folk that are different from the norm. You want to deal with people who smell good, people who look good. No, baby. If you really want a ministry, honey, if you want to see signs and wonders and miracles, you go ahead and let God be God. He'll change your ministry. Guess what? The only folk that's not going to like it are the folk that you done trained to be in tradition.
That's the truth.
No, Pastor, you're going to have a problem because you don't got these folks so spoiled. Brother Pastor, can we go to your house after service? Oh, I just like him. Oh, Pastor, you're so crazy. They're going to be your demons. I'm giving you 33 years of experience. You may not think you need it, but I'm trying to help you. Don't you let my young voice fool you.
And that's true, because that happened to my daddy.
Come on, girl.
It's true. That's the truth. You tell them the truth right there.
They will turn on you. And, honey, let me tell you something. That's why I tell pastors, don't pacify the people. Your job is to keep the folk married to Jesus. But listen, when God sends you an apostle, you move your little self out the way and let that apostle come in and bring correction. When God send in the prophet, move yourself out the way and let God send in the one who can point the way. You have to have a fivefold ministry. If you don't, you don't have a church. You have an urch.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
People talk about, we had church. How do you do that? How do you have what you are supposed to be? Somebody got to hear this.
Jesus.
There's no such thing as we had church. You know, people say we had church. That means some folks danced, they done ran, they done spit. It's really a party spirit.
It is.
It's a party spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this right before we get off the air. God has been working to bring in all fivefold ministries. They must be alive, active, and unified to fulfill God's divine commission. This is Ephesians 4:11 through 16. The full restoration and activation of all fivefold ministers will bring about the teaching, training, activating, mentoring, and maturing of the saints. Jesus created the fivefold ministers for the saints to be taught, trained, activated, and fully equipped in their compelling tools of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. In other words, every member of the body of Christ must function. Every joint supplied, the body of Christ can fulfill its prophesied purpose and destiny. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, and it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, notice the first gift mentioned is the word of wisdom. The reason the body of Christ is suffering because there is no wisdom.
That's so true.
And the second gift, watch this, y'all, is the word of knowledge. See,
mm-hmm.
most folks want to run to the gift of healing. They want to run to all those supernatural gifts. But the first supernatural gift is wisdom and knowledge. What did Solomon ask for? He asked God for wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to lead the people. We have too many ministries with no wisdom, no knowledge how to lead people. All they have is a position. The position has been exalted above the anointing. Hear me again, brother pastors, sister pastors. Don't you ever get it confused. If you exalt your position as pastor above the anointing of Jesus Christ and forget that you are not the boss, Jesus is, and he said what he wanted in his church, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. If you can't do it Jesus' way, stop calling it a church and call it a social club.
It's true.
And I repeat, it is not a church. If it is not, according to the blueprint of Jesus Christ. I don't care how you fix it up, brothers and sisters. I don't care how you preach it, how you make it sound. It's not a church.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
It's called repent.
Mm-hmm.
If you love the people, you'll turn it over and say, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing it wrong. I done got spoiled. And listen, I heard a message by a true apostle. First I got upset. But then I repented. Because, you know, I don't care about you getting upset. I care about the people being free. If you drop your pride, then people would be happy. And guess what? Money won't be an issue. Because everybody would have all things common.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a church thriving because Jesus is happy because you did it his way.
His way.
Not your way.
That's right.
So praise God. Praise God. I'm excited, y'all. I don't know what's going to be talked about tomorrow, but we've been hitting it 2 days, my queen. And we're going to be releasing and getting some CDs together and going to be releasing it to the people about proper ministry. And there's so much to say and do and to prepare people for this great work. You know, God told me to take a rest from church planning. But I feel the engine starting. God, whew, but I thank God for what he has done. Ladies and gentlemen, God has, like he told Elijah, 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. Make sure that you're not in a Baal church. Make sure of that. Make sure that you're not worshiping man. Make sure that you are You know, you can be in church so long until you listening to what that man said and not even listening to the word of God.
That's true.
The Bible said, obey them that have rule over you, but what? Who have taught you the word.
They've taught you the word.
Whose faith follow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's me. You know what I tell people? Challenge me. By all means, challenge me. Why? Anybody that doesn't want to be proven, you've seen those cars when they make new cars, y'all, and
mm-hmm.
then they do a test. They have a dummy in it,
mm-hmm.
and then they crash the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what God does to ministries. Anybody that's making something or creating something or a work and not willing to go through a crash test, run. Any pastor, I knew one preacher, he told the people, don't question me. Don't question my authority. I said, who the freak do you think you are?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I meant it. Who do you think you are to tell people not to challenge you? Oh, I love it. A real leader, a true head sheep, welcomes questions and challenges. But a wolf,
that's what I was
going to
say.
Oh, a wolf? You better not walk up to a wolf leader. Pat, I want to ask you a question. Well, wait a minute now. Are you questioning my authority? I've heard it. Don't you know most people call me, go to other churches? Y'all not listening to all y'all. Most people call me my queen. They go to other ministries.
Yes, they do.
And we never once put anybody down. We give them what? The word.
The word.
That way, we keep ourselves free of the judgment of God.
Okay. That's wisdom.
I had one preacher, he said, who is this man you talking to? And they told him, they gave him my name, and they said, have him, I want to meet him. He sent me in the office. He said, I hear you've been talking to some of my members. Now, Angela, you know your cousin. I did a woosah. And he said, I heard you've been talking to some of my members. I said, can I see your hands? He thought I was funny. I said, no, I'm straight. I like the river, not the desert. Just hold your hands out. I said, Pastor, I don't see any holes. What are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about Jesus. You said that they are your members. I said, how much they cost? I mean, come on, y'all. Either I'm slow or God deals with me in my own unorthodox ways. You understand? I said, brother,
another word.
Where's the receipt?
Okay.
Show me the receipt. Well, you know, I'm the under-shepherd, under the shepherd, and God gave me. Oh, shut up. I said, listen, man, let's talk man to man now. Quit all this stuff. You know, I said, what's your first name? Your first name, Willie? Okay, you Willie, I'm Roger. I'm not dealing with, you know, your occupation. These are not your members.
Okay.
They can talk to whoever they want to talk to. What is this, a cult?
Mm.
That's what apostles do, y'all. They don't play. I ain't trying to win no brownie points. Set the people free. If you're a pastor and you talk like that, let the people go. If you're looking at the people as your sheep, let the people go. If you're looking at the people as your members, let the people go. Oh, God will snatch them from you.
Mm-hmm. He will.
You'll walk in and half of them be gone.
And that's true.
And God's going to empty some places. Y'all better hear my prophecy. God's going to empty some big houses.
People are searching.
Big houses. He's gonna empty. You're gonna walk up in there with your robe, and you're gonna say, "Hey." You're gonna hear an echo. Antoinette.
Yes, sir.
I ain't nobody but Roderick.
Yes, sir.
that.
I told the ministry one time, y'all, we got about 3 minutes. I told the ministry one time, they kept calling me, Apostle, Apostle. I said, my name is Roderick.
Roderick.
I told them Sunday morning, everybody call me Roderick.
Morning.
One mother got up. Well, you know, the church I used to belong to, they taught me that that was disrespectful. I said, well, the church you go to now, I don't teach that. Oh, Jesus, help me. She said, I don't want to be disrespectful. I said, Mother, disrespect me, please.
But, you know, culturally, in black churches, that's what they do. But in some of the white churches, and some of them that don't put church in front of their name or after, some that are ministries, they call the pastor by his first name, pastor or the apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And they have more
they
money.
Really do.
They have more
yeah,
money,
they do.
Too. These folks run
yeah,
around pitching pennies, and everybody want to be called this or that.
Yeah.
They have more money. They got better sense. The cameramen know how to be still. These folks, the film in the ministry, they jumping and shouting. You put it on YouTube.
No.
I had a lady video for me once. She was saying, amen. I told her, shut up.
No.
Don't you film for me. If you got a tongue talking, close your mouth and let somebody else take over. She filming for me, and then I looked at it, and they filming the ceiling. The hell you doing filming the ceiling? I'm not up there.
No,
you are
no,
fired.
No.
I said you're fired. I didn't say fired. I said fired.
Oh, no.
See, I'm listening to the film,
no.
And I hear her going, oh, yes, Lord, Jesus. You are filming. You don't. And then, you know, you usher, and you know you can't run track.
Mm-mm.
You ain't supposed to be ushering if you can't stand alone. I'm going to move my feet. Sit down. I just like to usher. No, the anointing is not upon you to usher. That's why when you fly planes, those that are stewardess, that, you know, they have to be in shape. Now, I ain't putting down nobody, but you got to be in shape to usher. And you don't need no usher. You got two folk anyway. Choir marching in. There's only five of them. And everybody got to stand and wait till all five of you. Everybody all wrong, out of tune.
Oh,
I love you all.
Love you too, Roger.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Hey, Katrina. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Oh, what a mercy, Jesus. Oh, wow.